turn to Daniel chapter 12. Unbelievable. We're at the last chapter of Daniel. Isn't that great? I mean, sad. I'm kind of mixed emotions, right? Sad, happy. Would you also pray that you would let, God would let us know where we need to be next? I have an idea, but, I want God's confirmation on where we're going to be next. But now we're in the book of Daniel chapter 12. Let's go ahead and pray and then get into his words. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this precious book, that we can get a whole counsel of you, Lord, through this book from Genesis to Revelation, that we just don't pick and choose the things that we like and discard the things we don't like. Lord, everything in this book here is for instruction for our life, a love letter to you from you to us. And Lord, may we treat it as such, as precious. May we not take it for granted, O God, your precious words that give us life, that gives us instructions, that show us how to live a Christ-like life, how to be obedient, how to follow your commands that you say are not burdensome. And so, Lord, today, Lord, if we're having trouble reading your words, I ask, Lord, that we would come to you individually and ask, Lord, for your help to give us that desire to read on a consistent basis your words, your precious words. And so we thank you, Father. I ask now that you would open our eyes and our hearts to know what you want each and every one of us individually and as a body of Christ to learn from in Daniel chapter 12. And where else do you want us to go, Father, after this? So we thank you. We love you and praise you as you would open our hearts and minds in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would do the same for the children's ministry. And so we thank you, Father. We love you and praise you and ask this in your glorious, beautiful, precious name of Jesus Christ. And all of God's children say a big amen. Here we are, folks. Daniel, end of Daniel chapter 12. As you've read from Daniel's chapter 1 to 11, some of the things that stand out obvious to you would be Daniel was a great man of faith, right? He was a great man of faith, and his friends were. They were in captivity for how long? Remember, 70 years in Babylon? And then he was given gifts to understand dreams. Not only that, he was given prophecies about near future fulfillments and far future fulfillments. I don't know about you, but there are people out there that if they were to get stuff like that, they would get the big P word, pride, right? The big pride. Can you imagine if Daniel got prideful? Well, look at me. I can understand prophecies and you can't. Look at me. I can interpret dreams and you can't. There's so many things that, man, if God had given gifts to certain people, they would either get prideful. And then there's another one I was just thinking of, a critical spirit. Did you ever think of that? Critical spirit. That is one that can divide a church, a critical spirit. It's like, well, we just start pointing out everyone's sin, and, we don't realize the sin that we're living. It's that plank in the eye, right? The big plank. And I also thought of a controlling spirit. Daniel certainly could have had a controlling spirit. Do you know what I can do? You ought to bow down to me. But thank God, Daniel, Lord, he was a genuine man of God. And there was no pride from what we read of. There was no controlling spirit. There was no critical spirit. And I pray that each and every one of us, that we wouldn't ever get to that point where we have a critical spirit or a controlling spirit. And if it's one of those things that we have a blind spot, and maybe your spouse or a significant other, like a brother or sister in Christ, who is a strong brother and sister in Christ, points this out to you, and you know them, they're accountable, you know that they're a person of God, and then sometimes those blind spots that are pointed out, take heed. Go to God and say, such and such mentioned to me, that I have a critical spirit. Lord, is that true? And that's the way to be genuine with Christ, because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. But the great thing is that God's is so gracious that we too have been given that ability to extend grace to others. That's what helps in keeping that unity in Christ, extending grace to one another, because none of us are perfect. Amen? And so here we are diving into Daniel chapter 12. And we have Daniel chapter 12. Now, for those of you who are studying Daniel chapter 12, you want to ensure that you read that chapters 10, 11, and 12, because they belong together. They belong together. Here we go. Starting in verse 1. And at that time, Michael shall stand up. So who's this Michael? Archangel Michael, that's right. Now, whenever you hear of the Archangel Michael, usually you associate that with spiritual battles, correct? Because every time you read him, you think of Jude. What was he doing against Satan? He was like, may the Lord rebuke you, Satan, because they were contending over Moses' body. We don't even know what that whole war was about, but they were contending over Moses' body. But all I know is that Archangel Michael said to Satan, may the Lord rebuke you, Satan. So he's always associated with spiritual battles. Michael, if you recall from Daniel 10:13, I mean, there's others, Revelation 12:7. Michael is battling there in Revelation 12:7. We know in Daniel 10:21, Michael was battling there. And I mentioned Jude 1, verse 9. And if you recall Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, Michael was battling the what? Yes, prince of the kingdom of Persia. So who was this prince of the kingdom of Persia? Was it a literal person that he was fighting? A physical person? I should say physical here on earth. That's what I got to say. Yeah, I want to be clear about that because it's... Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, we're on the same wavelength. So we're on the same radio frequency. And you're like, what's a radio? Those are for the old ones. Old people only understand what a radio is. CD, VHS, DVD, we're on the same DVD. You're like, what is that? All right. It's like podcast, folks. Podcast, okay. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was a demonic spirit whose job it was to influence Persia and its leadership for what purpose? To go against Israel. This is who Michael was battling. A demonic spirit whose job was to influence Persia and its leaders to go against Israel. Now, think about that. That word, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. In light of recent events, ladies and gentlemen, in light of past and recent events in the Middle East, God has been teaching us that these wars in the Middle East always has a spiritual connection. Know that. There is always a reason behind this, and it's in the spiritual realm that this is happening, first and foremost. Throughout history, the prince of the kingdom of blank, you can fill that in yourself. The prince of the kingdom of blank, fill that out yourself. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out the blanks. Throughout history and even now, the prince of the kingdom of blank has been trying their hardest to influence individuals, has been trying their hardest to influence leaders and nations to come against God's people, and you can see it today, especially Israel. The prince of the kingdom of Iran. Did you ever think about that? The prince of the kingdom of the Houthis. Did you ever think about that? The prince of the kingdom of Hezbollah. The prince of the kingdom of Hamas. And many other kingdoms that has in their beliefs, that has in their ideology, that has in their religion, that has in their teachings, and believe it or not, in their charter, the elimination of Israel. And or their beliefs, their ideology, their religion and teachings that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God and God the Son. This has demonic spirits in the spiritual realm trying to influence individuals, leaders, cities, towns, nations, and countries to come against Christians and Jews. Now, I want to be careful here. Not everything is a demonic spiritual attack. But certainly you can understand that the prince of the kingdom of blank is certainly influencing the world today. Yes? This is why, my brothers and sisters, I plead with you, and I'm pleading with myself, that we fervently pray and pray consistently to our Almighty God, to pray for deliverance, to pray for protection, to pray for salvation, to pray for a great move of God upon the precious souls at your work, to pray for the precious souls in your neighborhoods, for the leaders in your towns and cities, for the leaders of Canada. When is the last time that we have prayed for the leaders in Canada? Are you disgusted with the leaders in Canada? Then pray and tell God about that. Are you happy with the leaders in Canada? Then pray. And I'll pray for you if you're happy. No, okay. Listen. The prince of the kingdom of blank, and you fill that in, they don't want them to experience the agape love of God. Did you ever think about that? The demons don't want, they don't want you to even come close to your neighbors, your relatives, to experience the agape love of God. Because if they get a chance to experience the agape love of God, it's over for the devil. It's over. It's over. May I say that it's possible that at one time you and I were influenced by the prince of the kingdom of blank. Think about that. We were at one time influenced by the kingdom of blank, whatever that be. Aren't you glad? Aren't you ecstatic that God saved you and delivered you from the prince of the kingdom of blank? So I ask in light of that, knowing that, will you please pray and share the love of Christ with anyone God puts in your way? Amen. And it continues. It feels like I got a fly here moving around. Sorry. So if I'm going like this all the time, it's not because I'm trying to fix my hair. Okay. At that time, it says here, let's go back. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. Who are the sons of your people? Since the angel, possibly great Gabriel, if we're going back to the beginning of chapter 10, possibly Gabriel, whom God sent, is speaking to Daniel. This is speaking of Daniel's people, and who's Daniel's people? The Jews. So, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. So, Michael, the archangel Michael, has a special task. What is that special task? He's the guardian of Israel. He is tasked to guard and protect Israel, especially during the future tribulation period. Revelation 12:7 speaks of that. Revelation 12:7. Now, Some think that Satan would be the opposite of Jesus. And I want to share it because this is going out there. And sadly, there are false religions that teach that Satan and Jesus are brothers. Like the Mormon cult and the Jehovah Witness cult. So pray that they would be delivered from that blasphemy. God would save them. However, Satan and Michael are created beings. And God the Son, God the Son, Jesus Christ, is not. He is eternal. Big difference. They're not even close to being on the same level. The true opposite of Satan would be Michael, the archangel. Again, referencing Jude 1:9. So moving on, it says there, and there shall be a time of trouble. We certainly know that the Jews know about times of trouble. They've experienced persecution by the Romans from the church during they actually had faced persecution from the church during the Dark Ages. The pogroms of Europe, the 20th century Holocaust. And of course, we studied this as well, just in past chapters. Remember this name? Antiochus, what is it? The fourth, Epiphanes, and his treatment of the Jews. The Jews, after becoming a nation in 1948, have experienced 13 wars. The last one where they sent 300 and so missiles and drones toward Israel. And do you notice that they're still around? 300. I'm going to say this, but if 300 missiles were to come towards Toronto, I think there'd be a lot of areas obliterated. But God protected Israel. The Jews, after becoming a nation, have experienced all these things. They know about times of trouble. By the way, you know, on a side note, I don't think any of us here, I don't know, maybe, I don't think anybody here has experienced a world war or been in war, or maybe even experienced or has experienced what the Jews have gone through. But an important note, that being born again, doesn't make us exempt from general tribulation. Agreed? There are denominations out there. There are teachings out there from false religions or those that call themselves a church that teach that when you give your life to Christ, you won't have problems. I don't know. I think all of us here can certainly attest that there's problems when you become a Christian. But it's different for the Christian because God allows things for the Christian to benefit the Christian, whether it's trials or tribulations. And I'm not saying, but I know some of you are going through the most difficult things that maybe some of us will never go through. But God has allowed it for a reason, and so seek the Lord. He is the one. Don't focus on the problem. Focus on Jesus, who may have allowed the problem, and he'll let you know what's going on. Keep your hearts and eyes on Jesus Christ. So we're not exempt from general tribulations. Now, I'm not talking about the great tribulation. I'm talking about general trials, problems, troubles, tribulations. As Christians, we will go through these general trials. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world, you will have tribulation. But thank God right after that, he says what? But be of good cheer, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Do you see why I'm asking you to go to God? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He says you're going to have tribulation. Now, this verse, and there shall be a time of trouble, is not referring to general problems. This time of trouble is referring to a future time period. Remember, you know, God, through Daniel, has actually allowed us as readers, has opened our eyes and our hearts to go beyond our time and space. You understand that? So it's almost like he's opened up the curtain and said, this is what's going to happen in your future, Daniel, which is now our past. But then there's a future fulfillment that has yet to be fulfilled, that has not yet been fulfilled in our time right now, at this moment. So God has opened up. So for some of you, it says, I remember asking one person, hey, you know, what kind of superpower would you like to have? And they said, oh, I'd like to have the superpower of time travel. Well, boom, guess what? The Bible allows you to do that, allows you to see the history, and allows you to see the future. So this is what God's doing. He's opening our eyes to his future, to the future that he has spoken of and say will come to pass. So here's what it is. In Jeremiah 30 verse 7, Jeremiah calls this period, this time of trouble, he calls it Jacob's trouble. What makes this different from the troubles they're experiencing now? This is a future fulfillment that has not yet come to pass yet. It could come at any moment, but has not yet come to pass at this moment. Well, what makes this the worst time for the Jews? What makes this different than any troubles they're going through now? Look at the next verse. Such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. This will definitely be a period of time at the end of the age, as mentioned in Matthew 24, 29 to 35. And I say this with a heavy heart as I'm saying this, as I'm reading this, as I'm explaining this to you. My heart is heavy because this will be the worst time of trouble than what I've mentioned on the other stuff that we've learned so far. And they've gone through so many things. The destruction of their temple, the second temple, the scattering of the Jews, Of course, we talk about Hitler and the Holocaust, the things that have happened recently. As terrible as those things are, with a heavy heart, I say it's going to be much, much worse. It's hard to believe that. But this is God's words, not mine, but he's got a program. And this program, he's put in place, and there's a reason for it as we get down to reading more and more of these verses. But this will be the worst time of trouble than we're ever going to see for the nation of Israel and for this world. And I must tell you again with a heavy heart that this is going to be much, much worse for unbelievers, for Israel and the Jewish people. Jesus will tell you in the book of Daniel that this must be taken literally. People will fluff this off because they don't, if they fluff this off, it's because they don't want to believe that these things are literally going to happen, so they allegorize this. But Jesus himself tells us that Daniel must be taken literally. He quoted this very passage in Matthew 24, 21. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. When I first came to Christ, when I gave my life to Jesus, I just thought, okay, I'm going to, you know, great, I gave my life to Jesus, I can live my life, and then I die and I go immediately to heaven. Yeah, I thought it was something there. Because I think it's a spider. But it's not. No, I'm not saying it's not a spider. I'm saying it's not. There's more to it. As you read the Bible, didn't it kind of floor you? Just like, what? What is this? What is that? What? And then as the Holy Spirit spoke to you, as you did your studies, you've gotten commentaries from other well-known teachers or good teachers, it's like, wow, we have an amazing future for those who are believers in Jesus Christ. Now, this time period will be so severe that Jesus said in the next verse of Matthew 24, 22, now he says this in verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. Did you see that? If you want to mark that down, Matthew 24, 22, this is Jesus' words. He says, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. If it were more than 7 years, no flesh would survive. Listen to these quotes. The Jews has always been a target of Satan. He has sought to destroy them because he knew that God has ordained to accomplish his purposes through this nation. Where did Jesus Christ come from? Through the lineage of? Thank you. The trumpets, seals, and bowls of Revelation all describe the horrific conditions of the world in general during this time. The Jewish people will be targets of the full fury of the devil and his antichrist during this period, and will live in a world that is in incredible upheaval because of the judgment of God. The horror of this period cannot be overstated. This period will be characterized by wrath, Zephaniah 1, 15 to 18, wrath, Zephaniah 1, 15 to 18. Judgment, it'll be characterized by judgment, Revelation 4, 7. Indignation, Isaiah 26, 21. I'm sorry, 26, verses 20 to 21. Isaiah 26, 20 to 21. Trial, be characterized by trial this period of time. Trial, Revelation 3, 10. Trouble, be characterized by trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Destruction, Joel 1, verse 15. Darkness, Amos 5, 18. It'll be also characterized by desolation, Daniel 9, 27. And punishment, Isaiah 24, 1 to 4. Isaiah 24, 17. And Isaiah 24, 20 to 21. Now, just in case anyone's thinking, no, I am not happy and excited that this calamity will fall upon the earth. No, I do not have a vengeful attitude about God's judgment upon believers. Yes, get them! Go! Smack them around! No, I don't have any of that whatsoever. My heart breaks for those who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, even after you told them time and time and time again, even after you prayed for them time and time. You all have aunts and uncles and coworkers and relatives and so on and so on, and neighbors, and you've told them time. You've spoken to them. You've pleaded with them. They laughed at you. They mocked at you. But I know your heart is not the vengeful type to say, well, you're going to get it. That's not God's heart. But here's the thing. Me not talking about it is not going to change sovereign God's mind. He has infinite wisdom, and we don't. He's in charge, and we're not. He's the perfect judge, and we're not. So this is God's timetable. This is what God has put into place. I know, though, we go with what we do know, not with what we don't know. We know that God is love, yes? And God is love, and part of that love must be the coming judgment of evil. How many here would love to see this world continue on in sin? I don't think any of you would. I think some of you, and I know some of you, many of you, not if not all of you, somewhere in your life have prayed, Lord, when is this going to stop? I can't believe such and such is happening. When, Lord, when is it going to stop? When? The insanity, when is this going to stop? So many people are getting hurt. Lord, when is this going to stop? Has that not been your prayer? And sometimes, I'm sure it has been. So here's the thing. God is love. And part of that love must be the coming judgment of evil. Part of that love must be the eradication of sin once and for all. That is why God has this in place. Romans 1, 18 to 19, for the wrath of God, there it is. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Do you hear that? For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Revelation 14:10, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. Revelation 14:10. But here's the wonderful thing. Our merciful God, our gracious God, abundant in mercy, as we just read, before God's judgment, always before God's judgment, always before God decides to eradicate, God in his abundant mercy, God in his infinite grace, always after giving this type of prophecy, always after giving many warnings, God tells us that there is hope. Hope in God. If you continue on in the next verse, look at this. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. At that time, your people shall be delivered. God promises deliverance to his people. Romans 10:13-14. God promises deliverance to his people. Romans 11:25-27. There will be some that will give their lives to Jesus Christ during the tribulation. If you don't know what that is, you can listen in on past sermons that we've done here regarding it from Daniel 1 to 11 and catch up. But this is a period of time. There will be a time that there will be lives during the tribulation. They will give their life to Jesus Christ. Although I don't recommend you saying, well, I'm just going to wait till then. It's going to be very hard. You don't want to do that. The best thing is just give your life to Jesus Christ now, not during the great tribulation. There will be those that will give their life to Jesus Christ during the tribulation. And though many will be martyred by the Antichrist and his one world government, these tribulation saints will be immediately in the presence of the Lord. Also, after a national spiritual awakening, a remnant of the Jews will be saved at the end of the great tribulation, giving their life to Jesus Christ. Zechariah 12:10 mentions that. Zechariah 12:10. Matthew 23:37-39 mentions that. And then going down further in the verse, it says, everyone who is found written in the book. Isn't that fascinating that he would say that? Is that a literal book? A lot of scholars debate about this. But there are names recorded of all the saved. These are names recorded of all the saved. Revelation 13:8 speaks of that. Revelation 17:8 speaks of that. Revelation 20:12 speaks of that. Revelation 20:15, Revelation 21:27, and Philippians 4:3 mentions these books. Look at verse 2. And many of those who sleep, now sleep here is not referring to the unbiblical teaching of soul sleep or purgatory. Sleep is just a simple reference to the physical body's death, because we know, sadly, some of you have not experienced death. Let me back up. Have maybe gone to a funeral, seen someone who's died, and it looks like they're sleeping, right? But this is what it means. It's a physical body's death. He's not talking about anything weird like that, like soul sleep or stuff like that. That's unbiblical. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall, look at these words, shall awake. Now, look at those words. Some to what? Everlasting. Some to shame and everlasting contempt. Here's the thing. Before Daniel's time, and probably even around Daniel's time, and so in the Old Testament, a lot of people had a murky idea of what the afterlife was about. You think, oh no, they must have. No. It was pretty murky unless God revealed it to them during the ancient times. Here God gives Daniel, in a few simple words, a clear understanding of where people go in the afterlife. Now, we have the completed Bible. Thank God we have the completed Bible. So with the completed Bible, I don't know if any of you are puzzle people that love to put puzzles together. My wife, she loves to put puzzles together. She even asked me, can you buy those mats so that when I put it together, it can lie in the mat and perfect and all that. And I forgot to do that. But, think about it. If I gave you a box with missing pieces, that's not good, is it? But if I give you a box with the perfect pieces, you put it together, everything fits perfectly, it's like, look at that. Think of the Bible. For them, puzzle pieces were missing in the Old Testament. But then we have the completed Bible, so now everything fits. And what God reveals to us, we're now able to say, whoa, look at how beautiful this is about salvation and where we go and how that all fits together and where you're going to go, what the future looks like, what the past was like. It's all a wonderful puzzle piece that's been put together by God. We have that. God tells us in Ecclesiastes 3:11. God tells you, he says in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that every human being is built for what? We've been built to worship God, yes? We've been built as well to please God. We're created for whose pleasure? My pleasure? We're created for who? His pleasure. But not only that, God has built every human being on this planet, has built every human being for eternity. Think of that. Head scratching for a moment? Wait a sec, I thought, people that give their life to Jesus, they're going to live on to eternity. Every human being, according to Ecclesiastes 3:11, has been built for eternity. Jesus Christ was the first to be resurrected. Oh, wait a sec. What about Lazarus? Yes, but he died. Oh, wait, what about Elijah? He went up, right? Yeah, but he didn't die. Jesus Christ died and rose in the power of the Holy Spirit. After he suffered and died on the cross for our sins. So here's the thing. He being the first to be resurrected pointed to all of us being resurrected. However, ladies and gentlemen, there is a resurrection for believers and there is a resurrection for unbelievers. Revelations 20, verse 4 to 6 talks about that. Revelation 20, verse 4 to 6. And Revelation chapters 11 to 15 talks about that. Have a read of that on your own time. John 5, 24 to 29 says this. John 5, 24 to 29 says this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Who? All. You notice that? Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And you're saying, aha, there, Pastor Paul, it proves that my works, if I just do good, I'll go to heaven. No, no, no. That's why we don't take just a scripture verse out of context. You've got to back up or even go forward to read the whole entire context and get an understanding. You just can't say, aha, it says there, and come forth those who have done good. Oh, okay, so all I have to do is good and I'll go to heaven. And to those who have done evil, they're going to go to the resurrection of condemnation. Aha, there. So I'm doing good. I've done all these good works. I've given money to the church. I've given to charitable organizations. So I'm very good with my husband, or I'm very good with my wife. I'm very good with my children, yada, yada. I do great work for my this and that. So I'm going to go to heaven. But again, you have to not take one verse out of context. Because remember, I read all these other verses before that. It said, for example, it talks about, and he who believes in him, who's him? Jesus Christ. What else? Oh, and certainly, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God. None, Jesus Christ. And as for the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And that's talking Son, of course, of Jesus Christ. So it's not just doing good. You're doing good because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because a verse says this, I am compelled by the love of Christ. We don't do good out of duty. We don't do the commands out of duty. We do it because of our love for Christ. And so this is what it's talking about. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. God's words in the Bible tells us there is a literal hell. I know our human minds doesn't want to believe that because we don't want anybody going there. Do you know God doesn't want anybody going there? If you don't want anybody going there, do you think God wants anybody going there? No! Our loving God? There is a literal hell, though. It is not a continuous place, okay? It is not a continual party place, as unbelievers try to humorously brush off, or the false teaching of annihilism. There's a teaching out there called annihilism, where they teach that unbelievers will not experience an eternity of suffering in hell, but will instead be extinguished after death. That is false teaching. No, this is a literal place of horrific eternal torment for Satan, for the Antichrist, the false prophet, and his demons. Revelations 20:10 says this, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. That cannot be allegorized. If you do that, you are going to mess yourself up royally. It's literal. And where by choice those who have rejected God the Son, Jesus Christ, in their hearts. God does not send them there. They send themselves there because of the choice. Now, those all around the world who have been graciously given eternal life and not eternal death should pay attention to Daniel's words in verse 3. Verse 3 says, those who are wise. Who's the wise? You are. Believers are the wise. You take that in humility, right? Those are the wise. Those are the folks that pay attention to God's words. Those are the folks who are living God's wisdom. Those are the folks in the church age who want to be led by the power of the Holy Spirit. Which means the unwise are those that don't seek the Lord and don't live according to his words. The unwise are those that don't live according to God's wisdom and lives for self. The unwise are those who are not for Jesus Christ. Those that are not led by the Holy Spirit, but led by the Antichrist. Verse 3 goes on, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. If you ever go camping, well away from the city, Why do some people like going camping well away from the city? Because when you look up at night, what do you see? Stars. In Greater Toronto Area, you try and look up, you can't see a thing. Maybe a couple of planes, maybe some fake lights, but it's hard to see the stars. When you go out, man, to the countryside and or rural areas, and you look up, it's like, look how bright those stars are shining. Well, think about what God just calls you. God just said that he's calling you like his created stars. God's telling his children that we are like the bright shining stars that he created, because when we share the good news about Jesus and turn many to righteousness, we are reflecting his light and helping them find the way like a star. You know that people use stars as a compass? Well, you're helping them find their way in life in truth in Jesus Christ. Verse 3 can also apply to the 144,000 evangelists from the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 from each tribe during the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 7. And here's the thing, you notice at the end of verse 3, it says there forever and ever, forever and ever. There are things that folks, that people are doing out there that only has a temporary shine on this earth. You know what I'm saying? But the things we do for God, the things you do for Christ is forever and ever and ever. Verse 4, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Daniel was to keep this safe and preserve the prophecy for a future generation. Guess who that future generation is? Hello? Hello? That's you. So these prophecies are for a future generation, and especially for those, did you ever think about this? And especially for those that are going to go through the tribulation. If there's Bibles around, this will now make a lot of sense to them. Verse 4 continues on to say, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. And a lot of times people have said, oh, that must be, you know, the information age. No, it's not pointing to the information age, the explosion of the information age. Although, yes, that has increased. This is not pointing to that. Notice again that we have what Bible? The completed Bible. And because we have the completed Bible, and now we're a generation to be able to understand this information. The information of what? To understand God's plan for the future. That has increased. The understanding now of all these puzzle pieces coming together as you read from Genesis to Revelation, the whole entire plan of God, that has increased. The knowledge of that has increased. Notice how we're seeing this in real time. Do you notice that? You are alive today. God has put you in such a time as this for a purpose, but also that now you can see in real time what the Bible has always been talking about. Folks, we are at that stage where we are seeing the stage being set. We are seeing the places being put into, we're seeing the pieces being put into place for all these end time events to become a reality. Do you notice that? God tells us that there will be a return of the Jews to the land God appointed to them, an Israeli nation. When did that happen, folks? 1948. There's the miracle of Israel's survival from ancient times to the present 13 wars. We see the pieces being put into place for a Russia, Iran, Turkey, and a few other nations. We see this, as God mentions this, in the Bible. We see the pieces being put into place for Russia, Iran, and a Turkey alliance for a future Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. You can read that yourself. When we get to Ezekiel, I'm looking forward to studying that. But the pieces are being put into place. God said that Israel will be in the spotlight. Do you notice who's in the spotlight lately with the news? Do you know that there are Christians being martyred and killed in Sudan? Has anybody heard about that? No? No Jews, no news. The spotlight is just always seems to be on Israel. But yet there's so much other things going on around the world. But unless it's about Israel, you don't hear about it. Sad to say. We see this today. There are constant talks. Do you notice that there has always been constant talks about peace and security for Israel in the Middle East? guess what? God tells us that's going to happen in the Bible. Why? Because God said what was going to happen, that before the coalition and before the Antichrist comes, there's going to be a peace treaty. And then the Antichrist and these coalitions is going to break that peace treaty and go against Israel. We're seeing that happening today. We're on the fringes of the beginnings of these things. How far are we going to get? I don't know. We hear of preparations for a third temple to be built as prophesied. Did you know that? A third temple is supposed to be built by the Jews. And if you go to the Temple Institute, I think, .com, you can see them preparing all the items to build a third temple. Where? They don't know exactly where. They have an idea where. But right now it's under Muslim control. So that means somehow, in some way, the Muslim control must be released. And that's possibly part of the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. We can get to that later. But all these things are happening. The desire by the elites, did you notice that the elites out there and the nation's leaders are trying to push for a what? One world. Yeah, you know that, right? This is not stuff I'm making up. You see that. Oh, by the way, you might not hear it as the world is one world government, but you hear it as this, globalism. That's another term for one world government. That's all being pushed. Well, guess who told us that's going to happen? God. According to the Bible, the Antichrist will be that one world government. God tells us in the last days the world will be characterized by what? Lawlessness. Anybody seeing lawlessness lately? In California, do you know what's going on out there? I've seen, they're posting signs that says, you know, if you steal over, I think it's like $900, $1,200, then you'll be arrested. Well, if I'm a thief, guess what I'm thinking? I'm going to steal under $900. So guess what? You've seen hordes of people doing, what do you call that? That flash mob, where they have a flash mob of thieves go in all together, ransack the store under $900, and then take off. Because why? They know they're not going to be arrested. This is not me making this up. Look this up, you'll see it. I'm like, what? Lawlessness. The world's going to be characterized by what else? Violence. Oh, gee, that's decreasing, right, folks? How about a rise in anti-Semitism? How about apostate churches? Do you see what we're seeing? This is not me, and I'm not trying to give you a doomsday report. This is just stuff that God has said is going to happen, and we are alive today. We're a generation that's seeing these things, and he says, as these things are coming to be, the next phase in history, according to God, that's a signless event, is the rapture of the church. Because we're seeing these things come to be. So put your hope in the blessed hope. Not in government. People will scoff at the rapture and of Christ's return. We know that's part of what's predicted and what God's prophesied. They're going to scoff at these things. The prophecy was to be shut up during Daniel's time, right? You read that. He says, shut this up. But now that we have the completed Bible, guess what he's telling us? Open it up. Reveal it. The book of Revelation means the revealing, not the shutting up. Now it's the revealing. Verse 5. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, and on this riverbank and on the other that riverbank, and one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall be the fulfillment of these wonders? And when he says wonders, he's meaning prophetic events. So what's happening here is that, remember in the very beginning of chapter 10, he was by the riverbank, the Tigris River. And so these two angels come before Daniel. So it's Daniel and the two angels. And he overheard one of the angels say, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever. So this angel, guess what he was doing? He was making a solemn oath about what he's about to say. And isn't it interesting, in Deuteronomy 17:6 and Deuteronomy 10:5, he says, where two or three witnesses, so this matter shall be established. And guess how many witnesses there are there? Two or three. Two angels, one's Daniel. Isn't that amazing? And he's made this solemn oath. He says that it shall be for a time. So a time means a year, and times with an S, that means 2 years, and half a time. What is half a time? If we know that time is a year, half a time is 6 months. So therefore, this time of trouble would last how long? 3.5 years. That's the last half of the seven-year tribulation, also known as the 70th week of Daniel or Jacob's trouble. Verse 7, and when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, who's the holy people? God is referring to his children, Israel, the Jews. So putting all the pieces together from Genesis to Revelation, looking at different chapters, putting all these pieces together, because now we have the completed Bible, what Daniel was talking about, God tells us in this future time that's going to come to Israel, at the end of the 3.5 years of the seven-year tribulation, Israel, the Jews, will have to face the Antichrist and his army at Armageddon. This is literal. Without any help to be found on earth, they will look towards the heavens and call upon Jesus Christ, their Messiah, to deliver them. And Jesus will rescue them and crush the Antichrist and his minions. And folks, it will not be a long battle. It's going to be a very short battle, because Jesus will just speak forth the sword of his mouth. And then it says, and all these things will be finished. What are things? What all things? All the prophecies for Israel will be fulfilled. Well, what about the church? What's going on? What about the church? We're not there in the tribulation, folks. We come back with Jesus after the great tribulation. In the book of Revelation, you won't find the church after chapter 6. Until we return with Jesus at the end of the book of Revelation. Verse 8, although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord. Now this doesn't mean that Daniel was addressing God. This was a term of respect. He's saying, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? It's like he's saying, sir, what's the meaning of all this for the Jews at the end times? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the end of the time. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. This is true, right? After the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you who are redeemed are refined and pure and white. This is the truth for the redeemed after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Revelation 7, 9 and 10 talks about that. But also to the Jews who will give their life to Jesus during the tribulation. Verse 10 continues on, but the wicked shall do wickedly. Isn't that interesting? The wicked shall do wickedly. I was going to read Romans 1 from 26 to 32. You do that on your own. But listen, when you read Romans chapter 1, 26 to 32, you're going to see an exponential rise in those things that are mentioned in Romans chapter 1, 26 to 32. Why? Because the wicked shall do wickedly unless they give their life to Jesus Christ. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. Of course the wicked won't understand prophecy. And they'll also mock God's timeline of end time world events. But the wise, you notice here, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But also the wise shall understand. Because why? God gives us the Holy Spirit to understand. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 14. These things we also speak. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 to 14, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. What did Daniel say? The wise will understand. But verse 14 says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can we know them because they are spiritually discerned. And Daniel said, and none of the wicked shall understand. Do you see the power of the Holy Spirit? If people are having trouble understanding the Bible, go to God. Cry out to him and say, Lord, help me to understand. Will God not answer that type of prayer? If you genuinely seek him, say, help me to understand so that I can find you in the scriptures, so I can grow closer to you, Lord, and know what you want me to know. The Holy Spirit he shall give, and he shall allow it so that you can understand scripture. It's the Holy Scripture that allows us to all agree about what we're reading, right? We're all agreeing because we have the Holy Spirit in us. We're like, yes, this makes sense. I get it. It makes sense. Because that's what God gave us, his Holy Spirit, to point us to Jesus Christ, to help us understand the spiritual things. Those who are in the natural state, those who are living in the flesh, they won't understand this. It'll be gobbledygook to them. They'll be, what is this? I don't understand this. They might be new Christians. I get that. That's okay. But I'm talking about those who are unbelievers. They won't understand this. They may like some stuff. Oh, yeah, I like those verses. I can live by the Ten Commandments. No, you can't. No one can live by the Ten Commandments. There are those out there say, I live by the Ten Commandments. Really? Thou shalt not covet? Thou shalt not murder? You haven't ever... Oh, yeah, I've never murdered. Have you thought it? I'm going to... He scratched my car! Right? God's not talking about the physical as well. He's also talking about here, what's your heart thinking? None of us without God can live the power of the whole... can live the Ten Commandments. None of you. Not I. Billy Graham couldn't live it. I don't... You call... You, whoever you want to say is the most super-duper Christian in the entire world... He or she can never live the Ten Commandments in their own power. It is only in the power of the of God Almighty, in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's a big amen. Go to verse 11. And from that time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, so we know that, we've studied that, Antichrist is going to take away that that daily sacrifice from the Jews, breaking his promise to Israel, and the abomination of desolation is set. What's that abomination of desolation? Folks, that's when the image of the Antichrist will be set up in the Jewish temple, the third temple. He's going to break his promise. Before he's going to say, oh, yes, go build that third temple. I'd love for you to build. I'd love for you to do your daily sacrifices. And the Antichrist is going to give them permission to do that. They're going to build their third temple. They're going to have their daily sacrifices. It's going to be short-lived because why? He's going to desecrate the temple. Antichrist is going to break his promise. He's going to put an image of himself in there, and they are to worship that display of him as deity, as God. That is the abomination, the desecration of the temple. And there shall be 1,290 days. Now, 3.5 years equals how many days? 1,260. Well, this is 1,290, so there's 30 days extra. What can that be? Very possible that that has to do with the time of judgment of the nations mentioned in Matthew 25, 31 to 46. I wanted to read that, but we don't have the time. Read that on your own, because that possibly is the extra 30 days where the believers and unbelievers, believe it or not, who have survived the Great Tribulation and before entering the thousand-year millennial kingdom will be judged. The sheep from the goats. Based on what criteria? Based on how you treated the Jews during the tribulation period. Read that on your own, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. So that could be that 30-day period of judgment. Blessed is, now verse 12, blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Wait a sec, 1,260, 90, that's another 30, and then we have this is an additional 45 days. Well, what's that all about? Well, it's possible, folks. We don't have a clear description from God telling us exactly what's happening there. But it's possible, did you ever think of this, that Jesus sets up his millennial government. And also, within those 75 days, remember what has happened to the earth. It's been decimated, folks. The earth has been decimated. It's gone through global wars. It's gone through meteors, scorching heat, earthquakes, polluted and poisonous waters, volcanic eruptions. This is just to name a few. So this could be God restoring it over time, over that amount of time. That's why he says, blessed is he who waits to enter into Christ's thousand-year kingdom on earth. But you go your way in verse 13 till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. Whew. So God didn't want Daniel to worry and start speculating. Think about this. You get this type of vision, how would you feel? Maybe frazzled, because your brethren, if you're a Jew and you see the Jews being persecuted, that's going to frazzle you. But God is saying, listen, don't worry. Don't start speculating. Daniel still had a purpose. He wanted Daniel to rest in who? In God. A lesson for all of us, ladies and gentlemen, not to get frazzled. Ladies and gentlemen, not to get exhausted at troubles and world events. Not to focus on the calamity, but to rest in Jesus, because he holds history. He holds history, and he holds your life in his very hands. But you go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. A teacher once said, the rest will be comprehensive, including rest from all toil of the body. And do I hear amen? Including from all laborious work. Amen? From all the diseases and frailties of the body. From all outward sorrows, small inward troubles, from the temptations and afflictions of Satan, from all doubts, from all fears. How blessed we will be with that rest in Christ Jesus. Amen.